MZTV.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have an MZTV exclusive report today. There have been two more differences discovered by an astute and intelligent viewer of this program between the two Gospels. I'm telling you, and I have told you, that I have the most intelligent audience on the internet. And yes, you too can find differences between Peter's Gospel and Paul's Gospel. This is Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula. I've never said don't try this at home. I've never said that what I'm doing here is exclusive to me. I'm the only one that can do it. Once you learn how to fish, instead of having someone just hand fish to you, yes, you can find these differences yourselves. They're popping up all over the place. So I now will regale you and instruct you of two new differences that were discovered by our brother Peter May, formerly of Holland, now of Suriname, who wrote me and said, here are two extra differences between the two Gospels. Well, my eyes perked up. Listen to this. He's got it. Why didn't I see this? I told you there's probably 300 more. The circumcision, the people who are following that Gospel, the people who are following Peter's Gospel, they need to confirm their calling. You know, this ties in with last week. That extra step, they need to confirm their calling. Guess how? Are you ready for this? By doing ideal acts. This is from a man, Peter, 2 Peter 1:10. Peter says that you need to confirm what God has done for you. How? By ideal acts. That will prove to you that it's true. James is saying the same thing, and this is so inconsistent with our gospel. James says faith is not enough. Oh, no. Faith by itself, no, it's dead. That's what James says. James says faith is dead. Peter's basically saying the same things here. James says that without works, your faith doesn't count for anything. Sorry. If you have faith, congratulations. Not good enough. In Paul's gospel, it is. It is. Because we're called apart from work of acts. Peter doesn't seem to be saying here that we are called apart from works of acts. In fact, he's saying the same thing James is saying, like, you better show me the money. That's what James is saying. Show me the money with your works. Only then will I believe that you have faith and that you're actually saved, loser. James didn't say that. I added that. I thought it was appropriate. Because anyone who doesn't have works is a loser. Somebody says, but honestly, James, I do have faith. I do have faith. James says, not good enough. I saw you refuse to help that old lady across the road. How much have you given to charity this year? Have you written your mother lately to tell her that you love her? Have you fed the poor? What did you do on Christmas morning? James asks us. Were you sitting at home unwrapping your presents in your own personal Yuletide glee? Or were you out taking food boxes to the poor on the street? These are the questions James asks and Peter asks you, because if Peter doesn't see this, your calling might not be confirmed. I'm going to go to Scripture. This was an astute observation by Mr. Peter May. They need to confirm their calling by the doing of ideal acts. 2 Peter 1:10. By the way, this is from the same guy who we have been recently told that he was teaching the same thing as Paul. That he had the same gospel as Paul. Even though Galatians 2:7 said Peter had the gospel of the circumcision and Paul had a different gospel, namely the gospel of the uncircumcision. No. We're told, erase that verse. Peter saying the same thing as Paul. I dare you to believe that. After this, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, rather, brethren, endeavor through ideal acts to confirm your calling to confirm it. To confirm your calling and choice. To confirm it? Like, it sounds like validating your parking or something. It sounds like almost a government issue affidavit, a sworn statement. Your works become a sworn statement that what is said of you or what you yourself are saying is true. Contrast that with Paul, Romans 8:30. We have been over this verse many times. This is a classic, never going to let you forget this. Paul says, and I'm going to just, as I read this, consider the emphasis. Now, whom he designates, this is a capital H, that'll give you your first clue as to the emphasis. Now, whom he designates beforehand, these he calls, and whom he calls, these he justifies. Justifies. Justification, to remind you, is being declared righteous in spite of your acts, in spite of your works. In spite of, not because of. Peter and James are saying that that nothing happens in spite of your acts. In fact, your acts are the validation. Your acts and your good works are the proof. Not your faith. No, your acts and your works are the proof that you really are called. Otherwise, if you don't perform these acts, we just can't be sure. But in Paul, he's putting the surety and the guarantee on the shoulders of Christ, not of your works. That's the major difference. Whom he designates beforehand, these he calls. Whom he calls, these he justifies. Whom he justifies, these he glorifies. Where do you find the pronoun you? Anywhere here? I don't see it anywhere there. There's the pronoun you. And yet Peter says, endeavor through ideal acts to confirm your calling. Your acts confirm your calling. James, of course, faith apart from works is dead. Faith is dead. That's a James poster. You people who love James, nobody listening to me, of course, but they should have a James poster. And don't expect me to put it here in Studio One that says, faith is dead. Because you can just get rid of apart from works, because that's an elaboration. Faith apart from works is dead. Just say faith is dead. Faith is dead by itself. I guess you could add that as a parenthetical insertion at the end. And I also must remind you of 2 Timothy 1:9 that we are called apart from our acts. That would be worth finding again, even though I've given you this verse many times. But apparently we still need that in these days of apostasy, when the distinction between the evangels are being blurred and people are saying that Peter has the same gospel that Paul has. No, Galatians 2:7 disproves that, and Peter's own words disprove it. 2 Timothy 1:9, starting at the end of verse 8, Paul calls himself his prisoner, and Paul exhorts Timothy, suffer evil with the evangel in accord with the power of God. That is the evangel I read to you in Romans 8:30. It's the power of God that confirms your calling, who saves us and calls us with a holy calling, not in accord with our acts. Called, not in accord with our acts. Saves us and calls us, not in accord with our acts. Yet Peter says, confirm your calling. How? By acts. Confirm your calling by acts. Paul says, no. Our calling is confirmed by Christ, not in accord with acts. How can any differences be more stark? I have time to, you know what? I really don't have time. Our friend Peter May does have another point here that is so good that I don't want to shortchange it. I got to give it to you. Forget it. Listen to this. John 15:13. No greater love than to be laying down his soul for his friends. Now, this is Jesus Christ speaking, right? John, I'm going to look this up. John 15, 13. I'm just reading it off the email, but we're going to do a live study here because, once again, I'm pushing the envelope as I like to do. John 15, 13. This is Jesus. Start in verse 12. This is my precept, that you be loving one another as according as I love you. Greater love than this has no one, that anyone may be laying down his soul for his friends. You are my friends. If you should be doing whatever I am directing you. This is amazing. Even Jesus himself is consistent with the circumcision gospel, with what Peter's saying, with what James is saying, while he was on earth, and only while he was on earth. If you should be doing whatever I am directing you. This is no less than a call to do law, or to hold law near and dear in your heart and wait for the Messiah from on high, who will put his law on your heart to enable you to do it. When? During the thousand-year kingdom. This is his precept. No greater love than to lay down his soul for his friends. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, and again, this was from the terrestrial Jesus. This was the Jesus Christ in his Jewish suit. Paul says in Romans 5, 6 through 10, and I'm going to turn here as well. Romans chapter 5. For Christ, verses 6 through 10. And I'll end with this. For Christ, while we are still sinners, still in accord with the era, for the sake of the irreverent, died. For hardly for the sake of a just man will anyone be daring to die. For the sake of a good man, someone may be daring to die, yet God is commending this love of his to us, seeing that while we are still sinners, Christ died for our sakes. Is Jesus contradicting himself? To the disciples, he said, no greater love than this, you die for your friends. That's the epitome of love in Peter's gospel, in the circumcision gospel. But Jesus now, showing himself to Paul, shedding his Jew suit, expands it and shows us an even greater love under this new evangel. You won't find this under the circumcision evangel, under Peter's evangel, not even from Jesus Christ's words himself, which is a shocker to many people, that he dies for enemies. That is a greater love than dying for friends. But it was a depth of the love of God, the revelation of which was saved for the lunatic on the road to Damascus, primed to bring to us from the glorified Christ a new gospel.